Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into hour number two. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia. Kyle Madsen will be back tomorrow, and we will get right back into things. Although, hey, I'm taking a couple of days off later this week. I'm going to Vegas.
Are you really?
I'm going to Vegas.
I think that means I'll be with the with Kyle Madsen later this week then.
These are things you probably should have known before, like right now in this moment, right?
Yeah, no, like maybe I did know, but as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I'll be back this week then.
Thursday and Friday, I am not here. I'm going to take off after the show. That's what I love about Vegas. I don't love going to Vegas, but it is one of the few places, like, you can do a radio show in the morning, go get on a plane at, like, 1:45 and be in Vegas by, like, 3 o'clock, and then you got the rest of your day.
Yeah, I've never done Vegas as an adult. I still got to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's not really, like, I like to go out and stuff like that, but I'm more of, like, let's kick it in the backyard barbecue type stuff, but...
Okay.
More lucky about it.
We like to travel. I don't like going to Vegas all that much just because, like, for a weekend in Vegas... You can do like a week traveling in Europe.
Uh-huh.
Like it's that much money to spend in Vegas. Like you can't get away, especially if you're on the weekends. You know, if you're staying in a decent spot, you're looking at, you know, $300 to $400 a night.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're looking at like if you want to go to a show or like we've talked about this. We were waiting to go to Ed Sheeran, right? And we were waiting right across from Allegiant Stadium. And there's a Mexican food restaurant right there. And I think we each had two drinks and we had like a normal dinner. And while we were sitting there, the server came over and told us that Ed Sheeran's show just got canceled because they couldn't get the stage right.
Yeah, that's tough.
Dinner was $600 for four of us.
Wow.
And that's like standard.
Yeah.
If you're going to go out like at any restaurant in Vegas, that's what I mean by it. It's just like so expensive for like a standard. Just, it was good, but it was, like, it's not.
Maybe Reno is more my speed.
Okay. I don't call that I won't tell you what I call Reno. It's not airworthy. It's the biggest little blank hole
I've heard.
World. Yeah. But, you know, it's cool. Yeah. Vegas is cool. I mean, you definitely can go to concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what like we saw Gaga last time we were there. And that was like a bucket list for the wife. And then we were going to see Ed Sheeran, which would have been a lot of fun too, which we've seen him before. But
so did you know originally that like Ed Sheeran was canceled or like the waiter broke it to you that Ed Sheeran was canceled?
No, they literally canceled the show like 45 minutes before the show.
Gosh.
Like while we were eating dinner.
Yeah.
And then they didn't officially cancel until after, like we didn't get an email that the show was canceled until after the show would have started. There were people waiting outside.
So if not for dinner that day, that would have been James Hannah just kind of waiting outside. Ed, where are you at?
Yeah, where are you at? How come we're not getting into the stadium?
That's tough.
Yeah, it was brutal. We had a trip to Vegas planned. I was going to surprise my wife for her birthday, a big birthday, and we had Gwen Stefani on like a Friday night, Lady Gaga on a Saturday night, and it was in May and the pandemic hit, and all of those shows got canceled.
Yeah. Pandemic was a wild time.
Shout out to Spirit Air for stealing our $500 in air trouble, but yeah. It is what it is.
Spirit, we need that back.
Probably not, because I'm not getting on a Spirit airplane ever again.
That's
but
fair.
That's okay.
You know, you guys keep that. We'll just, I'll go we're this good. Way. You go that way. Yeah, we're good.
We're good. I've stayed in hostels in Europe that were cleaner than the airplane that I got on. So
Spirit stories are always my favorite. You see them more on Twitter, but.
It's rough, man.
Oh, yeah. I got a buddy who said, I'll never fly Spirit again.
Yeah. I would almost expect, like, if they had, like, a seat break, that they would just go get a folding chair and put it there. Like,
it's the lawn chair.
Maybe, like, screw it down to the floor. Like, hey, it's good, man. It's a folding chair. It's okay. It's cool. Still
it's more comfortable.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, yeah, a bit of a train wreck. So, so we'll be flying down on Wednesday. I'm excited to just, you know, again, we're right before the season starts. And once the season starts, I don't have time to breathe for 6 months.
Yeah.
And, like, my neighbors don't know who I am anymore. They think I've moved. The family, like,
James gone into hibernation again.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get to this. What we do every week when we're looking at 49er games is we do keys to victory, right? And a lot of times we're like right on, we're spot on. Sometimes we're not. I think we did okay here. right? So let's go to your first key to victory. Right,
yeah, my first key was first turnovers in the first quarter. They did force two turnovers during the game, but the whole point of forcing in the first quarter was you wanted to make the Vikings chase you, get them out of their game plan early on, and I felt like that was a good recipe towards victory. But yeah, they weren't able to do that.
And what they split, right? So I think it was two turnovers a piece overall. Mm-hmm. So not a bad key. You probably got too specific.
Yeah.
If you would have just said forced turnovers.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that was the whole point, this being specific about it. Like, we needed that in the first quarter because look at James. They did it, and the Vikings won.
Yep. No, I agree. Okay. My first key was find your pass rush. I thought it was okay. I thought they had four sacks. It was okay. Bosa, I thought, looked better. Gross Matos had the play where Darnold, he got ran up on Darnold, and Darnold dumped a pass off and got a intentional grounding, right? I believe. And I think they had one other sack from one of their interior linemen. Overall, I thought it was okay. I need the 49ers defense to kind of step up in this way. Fred Warner had a sack, and then the other one was Kevin Givens. They need to, you know, again, they only hit Darnold six times, and that's where you would have been able to make more mistakes. Even like the Fred Warner incredible interception, that was just a bad throw. That was just him not reading that. That wasn't like pressure on the quarterback. He's got to get rid of it. I would have liked to have seen them make him a little bit more uncomfortable. So, like, wasn't too bad of a key.
It worked, sort of.
What do you got for your next key?
All right, for my next key, I had shut down Aaron Jones. They sort of did that, but I'm going to kind of switch up my key after the fact in hindsight. That was basically like shut down the run, make Sam Darnold throw against you and all that. You gave up 146 rushing yards on the day. Ty Chandler had 10 carries for 82 yards. Aaron Jones, you did shut him down. Fumble, like I said, near the goal line and all that, but I feel like the run defense could have been a little bit better.
I think so, too. The Ty Chandler switch-up, I don't think that it didn't look like that they were ready for that. Like, I think they were ready for, like, Aaron Jones smash-mouth football, and then they got something different from Ty Chandler. So.
The Vikings, I feel like they got one over on the 49ers on this one, where they kind of caught him slipping a bit here in this game.
You know what? I think that's a good way to... It's almost like they did a couple of, like, sneaky things. Mm-hmm. And those sneaky things worked, and the 49ers didn't have enough to get over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I had, if CMC plays, give Ayuk a chance for redemption. I didn't think that they're on the same page still. Like, Ayuk had four catches for 43 yards. He was targeted five times. I would have liked to have seen him targeted a little bit more in the red zone, a little bit more downfield. Part of it... I hate to say this, like, there were times early in the game where Purdy just kind of like stood in the pocket, and I even told Kyle, we were texting back and forth, he stands in the pocket like Tom Brady did, where he's almost like flat footed and just chilling, and you're like, look how calm he looks, and then he just slings it.
Yeah.
The problem is, I don't think that he took some of the big shots, or he leaned into some of the big shots, and then you could tell he realized that he like didn't have enough energy or something, and he started moving around a little bit, and then they started attacking. They started blitzing and making him uncomfortable. I think that they started to see how comfortable he looked as well, but I still would have liked to have seen him target Ayuk a little bit more, because you need to get Ayuk, the quicker you can get Ayuk back into shape and back into, you know, form, the better your offense is going
to
be.
Yeah, isn't that kind of on Ayuk, though?
Well, it's on Ayuk, so like, because he decided to sit out.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as, like, Ayuk's got to get open and all that. Ayuk's got to be in shape. Like, he's just kind of, like...
No, I'm with you.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, he's kind of going to, like, fall in line a bit. Like, we're ready to go. Like, you kind of got to speed your stuff up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's not so on Purdy, but rather than, like, Ayuk's just not ready yet.
Yeah, and I'll bring up Scooter in the chat. You can go to ESPN 1320 on YouTube and watch, be part of the chat here. Ayuk isn't getting separation. He's not going to be good for a couple of weeks at least. This whole offseason garbage really is going to hurt his season. I agree. I like, that's what you're seeing right now, but there are other wide receivers that like I'd say CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb stepped up for Dallas this week.
But it was the one big catch. Outside of that, he really didn't do much. Like, he's not getting the separation either. Uh-huh. And when you're not there, I think that's what you're missing. It's like the little tiny things in football that make the difference. It's like they always say, it's a game of inches. Uh-huh. But really, it's execution and like how little tiny things add up in the NFL. So, let's see. What do we have for your next key?
My last key was get the ball out quick if you're Brock Purdy. They didn't do that, James. Not at all. They didn't listen at all. Five sacks for the Vikings, seven hits on Purdy.
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, I don't know if it's a Christian McCaffrey thing or what led to that. If Trent Williams isn't ready to go, like, there's always questions about the 49ers offensive line minus Trent Williams, but I'm not sure. Or just Brian Flores just drew up the perfect game plan. They just couldn't do anything to stop it. But I'm not sure why, like, how it got this bad.
Yeah, they didn't even have someone to like chip block the guy coming off the edge. And it was like, what are we doing here? Yeah, really, really.
Like, it was literally the name of the game. It was like, oh, yeah, if the Vikings defense is going to get to you, like, this is how they're going to do it. It was kind of quite simple for the 49ers, but they still couldn't stop it.
Yeah, it's like they wrote it on the paper. It's like Carl Ramrod.
Yeah.
Like, you knew it was coming.
Literally.
Like, come on, man.
You were listening to the insiders last week, bro.
That's right. Let's see, my last key. If CMC plays, don't forget about Jordan Mason. Of course, Christian McCaffrey. We did these before. Christian McCaffrey was ruled out and put on IR. I still think Mason was a star in this game. Like, really, what he's been able to do the last couple of weeks to me is just, like, it's next level. If you're a great team that spends a ton of money on high, super high-end talent, you have to have guys like this. If you're the Sacramento Kings, like, it's great to have De'Aaron Fox. It's great to have Domantas Sabonis and go spend some money on Malik Monk and DeMar DeRozan, but you better have a Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
You got to have some dude who doesn't make a bunch of money, who goes out there and does his job and does it at a high level and surprises people. And big, big time hat tip for a guy who I think is playing out of his mind. Anyway, we did have a how did the 49ers lose this game? And I thought it was that they just didn't respect. They allowed Darnold to make the big throws.
Uh-huh. That's good enough for me, honestly. Like I said, I think it's a wake-up call for the 49ers that you said earlier that, like, how do you need a wake-up call in week two and all that? Like, through on, yeah, you've been one of the top teams in the league for the last few seasons. It doesn't make sense, but sometimes I feel like just teams have these games.
No,
and there also might be the aspect where, hey, we're not giving the Vikings enough credit here. Sam Darnold, I mean, he did have talent. He was the number one pick, or not, like, number four, number three, whatever it was. Baker went one that year. But he has talent, so maybe he's just finally figuring it out a bit, where he's not going to be this top-end quarterback, but hey, he could beat you, so you can't kind of overlook him at this point.
Yeah.
The defense is sick.
I think it's interesting, too. You brought up Baker. Baker's the guy that you kind of look at. Yeah, Sam Darnold was number three. It went Baker, Saquon, and then Sam Darnold. Denzel Ward, number four. Bradley Chubb, number five. Josh Allen, number seven in that draft.
Josh Rosen, excuse me, went 11th, I believe, and said, I'm 10th. He said, I'm going to make you guys all pay.
No, he did not.
Yeah, shout out Josh Rosen. At one point, I thought he was the quarterback for the Dolphins for the future. Threw a touchdown pass to Devontae Parker, and I turned to my dad, I was like, yo, we got one.
You got a real one. You got a real one.
It was over by the end of that game.
That's hilarious. I think Sam Darnold can actually have, I don't know if he can have a full revitalization like Baker Mayfield did. But I also don't think that what happened with Baker with the Browns was fair.
Yeah. Baker's shoulder, by the end of the time with the Browns, was shredded and torn up, I felt like. I felt like it didn't get talked about enough. Baker in that last season with the Browns was playing through every injury he could possibly play through.
Well, that, and I don't think Baker ever hit full-on, like, rock bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he hit rock bottom, but you kind of felt like, like, he just had, like, a bad season, just kind of fell apart a bit, and they just went away from him, like, super quick.
Yeah,
like, really interesting career paths here for these guys. Let's get to around the NFL. Let's start with the NFC West. The 49ers, of course, fell flat on their face, and they dropped a one-on-one on the season, but they got some help. What in the world happened in this Cardinals-Rams game?
The Rams are... All right, so this is a few things. I had thoughts after this game. I watched it. The Rams really scared me. There was all this talk, oh, maybe the Rams can get to the Super Bowl. Maybe they could challenge the 49ers. Maybe they can win the NFC West, this, and that. Maybe they're the worst team in the division at this point. They didn't look good at all. Yesterday, the game was over before it started. Kyler Murray shredded them up. I think it was 8 of 9 for however many yards, had 3 touchdowns. It was bad. And I'm not sure, like, they lost Cooper Kupp. I think he's dealing with a knee injury right now. Puka's already on IR. It's not looking good for those guys. And yep. I think I'm coming out of this game, I like how the Cardinals looked. I think the defense looked great. Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., this whole thing. Why didn't Kyler Murray target Marvin Harrison Jr. in week one? They tore it up. I think it was like 5-4 of 124 for a touchdown at one point in the game.
Yeah, I mean, the first quarter, he hit him with two bombs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I like right away, like they just punched and they punched the Rams in the face like super early.
Yeah.
And then they didn't let up. Uh-huh. I mean, like they were chasing Stafford all over the place. Stafford did not look good at all.
Yeah, and you see, he has no weapons at this point right now.
No, it's very true. And, you know, I thought like when they were great last year, it was with Kyren Williams and 12 carries for 25 yards. That's not enough.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a team that they're just like systematically taking things away from you and they're becoming more and more easy to defend.
Yeah, and I said it was a knee with Cooper Kupp. It was his ankle. Shout out Ramsey for that. He left the game in a walking boot with an ankle.
Kyler Murray, 17 of 21, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, only sacked once. And of course, Stafford was sacked 5 times. James Conner, 122 yards and a touch. Kyler Murray now the 59 yards rushing, but the big piece here is Marvin Harrison Jr. 4 catches, 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. Long was a 60 yard bomb, like super super impressive. And like, look, the Rams are in trouble. They're 0-2.
Big trouble. Yeah. I think what people thought about the Packers after they lost Jordan Love, like they're gonna just kind of fall down. Like that's gonna happen to the Rams. I think the Packers will be able to tread water. The Rams, I think, are kind of cooked here.
That's really interesting. I know Kyle was super high on the Rams. Yeah, that was the season.
You want to take a call real quick?
Yeah, let's take a call.
All right, we got Mitch on the line. What's up, Mitch?
Hey guys, Jesse, James, how you doing? Yeah, good weekend.
What's going on, man?
Oh, some games Saturday and Sunday, but I know I follow 3 teams. 49ers being one of them. I mean, they're really playing with fire and not have all that weapons. I mean, you could put yourself as quarterback. But I like Sam Darnold carrying that team. I think he's playing a little better than Purdy. And I don't think J.J. is going to take that job for him. You know, I know he'll be a free agent next year. It was just a one-year contract. But I guess the point is toward Sam Darnold how to play quarterback.
Mm, there it is.
Mitch is in on Sam Darnold. Big USC guy, Mitch.
Look at that. He just literally gave Kyle Shanahan like...
Kind of took a shot at Brock Purdy, too.
Like a hat tip. Hey, you taught Sam Darnold how to play quarterback.
Yeah.
I think sometimes getting into the right situation at the right time in your career can help you stabilize and help you become something.
Sam Darnold's with a good coaching staff right now, too. I think it's Kevin O'Connell. I don't want to get his name wrong, Kevin O'Connell. But yeah, he's a good coach and all that. So yeah, Sam Darnold's probably just in the right situation at this point.
Yeah, probably. Let's get to the second game from the NFC West that actually has some sort of meaning. The Seattle Seahawks go, it takes overtime, and they beat the Patriots 23-20. It's just, I'm not buying what Seattle is selling.
Of course not. This is the most fraudulent 2-0 of all time. They beat the Broncos and the Patriots. Like, congrats, but the Cardinals are better than them, I'll say.
Yeah, I would say the Cardinals are better.
After 2 weeks, of course, this is all just jumping out the water and all that, but...
And the Cardinals are 1-1. Again, the Seahawks go 2-0. Geno Smith was really good. 33 of 44 for 327.
Uh-huh.
There's something crazy in this game. DK Metcalf had 10 catches for 129 yards. 14 targets. Jackson Smith in...
JSN.
Okay. 12 catches, 117 yards. 16 targets. Between his top two wide receivers, 30 total targets.
Yeah, no Kenneth Walker out that one. Tyler Lockett is getting older. Just get it to the playmakers.
That is the way to, if you're going to have to win games like in some way, that's how you do it.
I like the Seahawks too. I'm not trying to like be like, oh yeah, they're not going to be like this good team or whatever. They'll probably be around 800 by the end of the year, but like, you can only get so much credit for being the Broncos and the Patriots.
Okay. I'm with you. I mean, like the reverse of what we're talking about there, Jacoby Brissett goes 15-27 for 149 yards, uh-huh. 15 completions. 8 of those went to Hunter Henry for 109 yards. He had 12 targets, right? No one else had more than 12 yards receiving.
Wait, you said no one else had more than 12 yards receiving?
Yes. So Hunter Henry had 109, Polk had 12, Stevenson had 9, KJ Osborne had 7, Gibson had 7, and Austin Hooper had 5.
Drake May, when you're ready, we're ready. You're ready to play, we'll be waiting.
I don't think he's going to be ready. I think that's kind of like...
Yeah, he has no weapons to throw to.
He's not going to be ready. I don't think he's ever going to be
like
ready.
Like, ever in his life?
Never, no.
Come on, James, be nice. Give the guy a chance, at least.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see how it goes. Okay, let's get to some of the other games in the NFC. We have this stunner, right? What the heck is going on with the Saints?
The Saints are what I thought they were going to be last season. Like, I thought last season, oh, you got Kamara, Chris Olave, Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr's good. Like, it just didn't work well for the Raiders or whatever. I think Zabo, too. There's audio of me saying, hey, the Saints could possibly get to the NFC Championship. Didn't work out well at all.
Okay.
This year, who knows? They're tearing it up. They got Clint Kubiak, I think, is their new offensive coordinator. And they've just been tearing it up. And Dallas, I don't know what that was, but that wasn't great.
But that's what Dallas is kind of been.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if Dallas just kind of did the whole, hey, guys, we're here, just in week 2.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't like.
And their offensive situation is tough, too.
I don't want to compare, like, the Cowboys and the 49ers at this point, because the Cowboys got stomped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they weren't even in the game.
Nope. Not at all.
Yeah, so Derek Carr, he goes 11 of 16 for 243 yards. Kamara at 20 carries, 115 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, and a 57-yard, I believe 57-yard receiving touchdown. On top of that, Rashid Shaheed, for back-to-back weeks, has just, like, he's just running as fast as he can, and Derek Carr's just throwing as far as he can. And
it's like, hey, he caught it again.
Look at that, he caught it. Like, this is some, I'm not going to say, like, Tyreek Hill stuff, but... You know, certainly
he's explosive. He's an explosive player.
Yeah, maybe it's like Alvin Harper stuff, right? So you have Olave, who can catch just about everything, and then you have Shaheed, who's just like outrunning everybody.
Yeah.
So the Saints are, I think, the stunner of the early season.
I'd agree with that. They're probably the most surprising team through 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
Dallas, I'm scared for you guys. Your running back situation is bad. Your wide receiver situation, minus CeeDee Lamb, is bad. Like, Dak is a good quarterback, but you can only do so much.
Yeah.
Offensive line didn't necessarily look great yesterday or whatever. Defense couldn't stop a cold.
No.
They couldn't do anything yesterday.
No, they couldn't do anything. Yeah.
Like, even when you feel like you had Kamara tied up in the backfield, somehow he snuck out and would get 10 yards or whatever.
Well, that, and I would also, like Dallas just doesn't have, like, outside of CeeDee, what you were saying, they don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm. Like, Brandon Cooks is not going to do it for
no,
you at this point.
No. Yeah, it's very, very weird what's happening there in Dallas. So, and hey, like, shout out to the Saints. Like, I don't want to take anything away from what they're doing.
It's a good football team.
Yeah, they just walked out on the field and just said, okay, we're going to run you over.
So their defense has always been pretty good for the last few seasons, and you can call it more than the last few seasons or whatnot, but now the offense seems like it's finally figuring it out, and now they got the right system in place. So it'll be a team to keep an eye on.
I definitely agree. Another team to keep an eye on, which I kind of felt this way going into week 2, is this Bucks Lions matchup. The Bucks won 20-16. I don't know. Like, there's something about that Bucks team.
You know what it is, James? They're actually good. They're not this NFC South football team is going to go 8-9, 9-8, whatever. They're actually good. This is a good football team.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, like, they belong. They're not, like I said. Do not shortchange them with the NFC South stuff. They are a good NFC football team.
Okay. That's what it kind of feels like. When I was watching them going into this week, it's like, oh, man, they're good. Some crazy things in this game. Like, first of all, Mike Evans did nothing for my fantasy team, which I'm always angry about, but that's okay. They definitely, Baker Mayfield figured out how to find Chris Godwin, who had 7 catches, 117 yards. Yeah, they're interesting, man.
Jared Goff didn't look good in that game either. I had that one on the multi-view. I think I built up the greatest multi-view of all time, by the way, this weekend.
Oh, did
I
you?
Had an exquisite Sunday. Just whatever.
What was your multi-view?
I had the Saints-Cowboys, Kamara going off on my fantasy team. Then we had Jets-Titans, which kind of sucked, but I wasn't going to watch like Seahawks-Patriots or anything. Then we had the Lions and Bucks, and then what was the bottom corner? We had Raiders and Ravens. And then we had Niners-Vikings on the iPad.
Oh.
We were living on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. No Miami to break my heart that day. We were living.
That feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goff just wasn't great. He had 2 picks and, kind of a mess.
They had opportunities too, kind of like the 49ers where they had opportunities to come down the field and take the lead, but they just never capitalized and the Bucks made plays on defense.
Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown is coming around. 11 catches, 119 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs coming around, 84 yards rushing. And Jameson Williams continues to be impressive. You know what? We got to go to break. We've got one more game to cover here. We'll get to that. We've got more from around the league, plus the handoff coming up. It's part of hour number two. We are the Insiders. I'm James. He's Jesse. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in just a minute.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James. He's Jesse. We are the Insiders here, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Jesse, the first 2 weeks of the season, I've done a little prize picks.
Mm-hmm. How do we do? We won some money, I'm sure, right?
Week one, $20 bet, I won $8. So I had two bad, like, I didn't know Caleb Williams was going to be this big of a hot mess. So
it's a little harsh, but.
Well, he is. He's a hot mess. He's like, whatever's happening there. Anyway, Swift, I expected Swift, his prize pick was like more than 13 yards receiving.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, come on.
Why not? A couple screens there, maybe one screen pass, a little 15-yard gain, we're solid.
Well, he's a guy who usually catches like 3 to 4 balls a game.
Yeah,
like, he's a very good receiver out of the backfield. Nothing. Like, zip. So last week wasn't great. This week, we got to talk about it. They give you the free one, right? So Caleb Williams plus 0.5 passing yards, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like the only reason I like Caleb Williams at all is always, because 2 weeks in a row they give me this 0.5 yards. So they give you a gimme. I took more than 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns by J.K. Dobbins. Mailed it. Zach Charbonnet, I decided to do the same thing, 0.5 rushing and receiving yards. And these are demons. Both of them are demons.
What does that mean?
A demon means the odds are more difficult, so the payout's bigger.
Gotcha.
Right? I have Nico Collins rushing or receiving touchdowns, 0.5. Right? Nailed it.
All right, that's four of them.
I got 4 out of 5.
We're cooking.
Right now, we're cooking. And three of those are demons. The final one, just so people know, it's Zach McBride.
Uh-huh.
And I took more than 0.5 rushing and receiving touchdowns. Zach McBride got a touchdown, but it wasn't a receiving.
Wait, so that doesn't count for you?
I got 4 out of 5. Are you kidding me?
I was going to say, like, you got the touchdown, so, like, you're good. I thought you were going to say something. That's tough. It's just an offensive recovery, I guess.
They called it just a recovery in the end zone. I guess he didn't advance the ball.
No, Trey McBride literally just recovered in the end zone. Like, he was, oh, football.
If he would have picked the ball up at the one and advanced it, I think I would have got the touchdown as a 1 yard
rush. That makes sense, yes, because he would have took off for a yard.
So I got ripped off.
Yeah.
So instead of $600, I won $65.
See, nah, you got to dispute that with Prize Picks or whoever. Nah, come on, fellas, work with me here. Like, you guys have obviously taken way more money than I've taken from you guys. Like, just help me out here at least this once.
There's no way they're going to dispute it, though, right?
Oh, no chance. No chance. You lost out on that.
But. Yeah, I'm going to lose. So I'm not going to dispute it. So, yeah.
That's the game, I guess.
Is that tough?
Yeah.
That's one of the worst bad beats I've seen.
Oh, yeah. They should throw you on SVP right there.
Yeah.
So. Especially just because he did score the touchdown. It's just a matter of, no, he just recovered in the end zone, though.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. Okay, let's finish up with these games. We had the Packers and Colts.
Yeah, I gotta call it Michigan Wolverines and Johnny G, two Colts fans in the chatty house. What happened there? What was that?
Yeah, that was trash.
We were talking nice about Anthony Richardson all last week and all that, and you lose to Malik Willis.
I wasn't really talking nice about Anthony Richardson because he beat me in two leagues. So I was like, are you kidding me? How did this happen? And again, the way he did it was like super sloppy.
Uh-huh.
Like it was like he just got it done somehow.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really all that pretty to watch. Then like reality set in. So he goes 17 of 34, 50% passing. He completed more than 50% because three of those went to the other team for interceptions. So 204 yards, a touchdown, three INTs. QBR rating at 28.7. That was ugly. Jonathan Taylor, 12 carries, 103 yards. That was spectacular.
Uh-huh.
They didn't quite. Alex Pierce is becoming a nice little interesting wide receiver for them. But shout out to Malik Willis, man. I think everyone in America was like, oh, they're cooked.
Malik Willis probably extended his NFL career by about 3 more seasons.
Maybe.
If he can just skate by, and when Jordan Love's back, Malik Willis has a 500 record with the Packers this season, he is set.
Whatever money he's getting this season, he really should just go and like go buy a Rolex for Josh Jacobs.
Like, oh yeah, Josh Jacobs is going to get no less than a million carries in these games.
Yeah, so Josh Jacobs goes 32 carries, 151 yards. Absolutely incredible. Malik Willis, 12 of 14 passing, 122 yards and a touch. They're making Jaden Reed a little bit more like of a possibility here, because I was all excited about Jaden Reed as a potential wide receiver find. And then once Love went down, you're kind of worried about like what's going to happen here. Reed had 2 carries for 37 yards, but only 2 catches for 9 yards. 16-10, this is pretty big, because the Packers, if they can just try to stay alive, then like, look, I think that they've got some sort of way, you know, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, their demise was overly talked about.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get on to some of the AFC games. Chiefs Bengals.
If this game went a certain way, we would have had some hot takes coming out of this one, I feel. I still kind of do.
Okay, I want to hear your hot takes.
I think the Bengals are really good, even though they're 0-2 still. I watched it, they lost. I'm convinced. They were talking all that mess going into it. Oh yeah, we're the team to beat in the AFC, blah blah blah. I almost had the Chiefs.
Oh.
And it's like, you're 0-2, but it's like, if it wasn't, like, it was pass interference at the end, whatever, sure. Refs got it right. The hall monitor got it right. Fine.
It was a clear pass interference.
Yes, like I said, the hall monitor got it right. Good job, little Johnny. You got it right again. Nobody likes you, but you got it right. Fine, whatever. Like, it was there for the Bengals, though. I think they'll be around the end of the season.
Okay, so I'm watching this game. And I watch every Chiefs game. I have Mahomes in fantasy. Everyone knows that. They get the ball with like 2 minutes and 30 seconds left at like their own 20 or 25. It was the most uninspiring. First of all, they run a run up the middle. They get stopped. They let the clock run down. They hike the ball. They move the chains. And it goes to a 2 minute warning. But they're still at like the 30 or the 35, something like that. Like, so uninspired. Uh-huh. They're not moving the ball at all. They're acting like they have, I guess, 2 minutes in Patrick Mahomes' time is enough for, like, 17 scores. But you're still like, man, can you guys...
have some urgency, maybe?
You need a field goal to win it, right? But, like, why wouldn't you want to get, like, a really close field goal? Or why would you just go for the field goal? Why wouldn't you just want to put the game away with an actual touchdown if you could? And it just felt like they're like, we're good. And then all of a sudden it becomes, like, 4th and 19. They're totally, totally done. And they get bailed by
it was pass interference.
They got bailed out by a bad defensive play.
Mm-hmm. It was pass interference. I know we all hate and stuff. It was pass interference.
It was fully pass interference without any question at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up winning the game, but even it like felt so uninspired, like nothing was happening.
Yeah.
Really, really weird vibe.
I feel like that Bengals team has a recipe for whatever that Chiefs offense runs.
Yeah, they came in.
They made Mahomes kind of look a little silly in that one, too. There was one interception where I don't remember who the Bengals linebacker was, but he throws it right to him as if he didn't even see him or whatever.
Yeah, that was totally bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Mahomes threw a couple of balls that like he had no business throwing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Mahomes just wasn't great. 18 to 25, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. The touchdown to Rashee Rice was really nice.
Yeah.
That was beautiful, but then they went away from that. Travis Kelce, 1 catch for 5 yards, only 3 targets. That's really weird. I think the Bengals did a nice job at taking away Kelce. They came into that game, and Mahomes was 3-3 against the Bengals all time. And to me, that like he almost dropped under 500 against the Bengals.
It was right there, if not for that pass interference.
Yeah, totally. So, and I mean, huge bailout.
Also, I'd like to put it out there. If you know where Ja'Marr Chase is, please let us know.
Yeah, he's MIA, right? Well, that's what happens when you're just very unhappy. There's also a play in that game where Mike Gesicki gets a ball and he's just busting down the sidelines. No one's anywhere near him. Mm-hmm. But he's in like slow motion. And I'm like, what is he doing?
Mike Gesicki is like the slowest, best athlete of all time.
Okay. So there's.
He looks athletic, but he does not move.
There's one guy to beat. And he doesn't even really try. He kind of gives like a. And we're talking on a long play. So this ends up being as long. It's 37 yards, right? He's cruising. He gets to like the 15, the 10. There's one guy to beat. And he just kind of like moves a little bit. And then the guy hits him and he falls out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
First of all, Mike Gesicki is what, 6'5"?
About.
Okay. If I see the end zone, like it doesn't.
I step it a little bit. Get those legs moving.
One dude left. Like I'm
stiff
gonna
arm,
try
you're tight end.
Stiff arm that guy. I'm gonna try to make a cutback and a spin move, something. I want that the end zone. And he didn't. And then they don't score. They ended up with a field goal on that. And it was like, bro, are you not taking this serious? Because it sure does look like you don't care or something. Like and I believe, you know, the reason why he's bouncing around the league is there's something there, but he had 7 catches for 91 yards, and I was so uninspired. I was like, man, like you should have had 7 catches for 127 yards because you just didn't try like after like on some of those things.
Well, Mike Gesicki is not the most physical tight end either. If you lined up on the edge against Mike Gesicki, you might be able to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. I do have to like give Rory his props. He did tweet. He tweeted me a picture of, we were talking about this on the break, where he won for $2. He won $2,000.
Yeah.
He did.
I never wavered, Rory. Know that.
Tweet receipts. Now, like whether, I don't know. I have to look at the receipts closely, but that's okay. Let's get to Chargers-Panthers, right? This is just, first of all, the Panthers are the worst team in football. We don't need to spend much time on this. We already have spent probably more time than we probably will the rest of the year talking about the Panthers. Just
you
because,
missed it earlier, too. They benched Bryce Young. Yeah, Andy Dalton starting in week 3.
They've already benched Bryce Young, the number one overall pick in last year's NFL draft. 26-3. And again, this was kind of uninspiring. Justin Herbert got hit hard.
Uh-huh.
And there was some concern there. 14-20, only 130 yards for Herbert, a touchdown. J.K. Dobbins, if you don't have J.K. Dobbins in your fantasy league, you should have picked him up before this last week.
Shout out to J.K. Dobbins, too. The dude's running his ass off, and he blew his knee out twice, I believe.
Yeah, he's killed me in fantasy multiple times because of the knee. And then Kyle and I, our league, we actually drafted him late.
Uh-huh.
And then this week I said, hey, man, I'm going to move Dobbins in the starting lineup. He had a good week last week. Kyle's like, okay, whatever. And he blows up.
Yeah.
And we it looks like we're going to beat Kurosh.
Yeah, shout out JK. Stay healthy.
Yeah, that's right. Jets 24, Titans 17. Aaron Rodgers gets his first win.
This one was disgusting.
Uninspired. The uninspired,
Jets,
man.
The Jets stink. This was more like just two bad teams playing each other. The Jets are not that good. They fought and fought and fought to get out of this game with a win.
Yeah, this game took way more than it should have.
If the Jets were what everyone said they were in the offseason, it should have been a 2-score game.
No,
Tennessee is not great at all. Will Levis is not good. He might be the worst quarterback in the league.
You know, he might be. Well, now that Bryce Young isn't playing anymore.
It's facts. Andy Dalton, you are now the 31st best quarterback. Will Levis, you're 32nd.
That's very possible. We got Casey joining us for the handoff. I forgot to warm up that computer. Sorry, bro. He'll be here in just a minute. Let's see. We've got Browns over Jags. Again, another uninspired game.
Yeah. Congrats to the Browns, I guess. You guys got to win. Jags really let me down in this one. I was expecting to be good this season, but you can't lose to the Browns.
I got to ask this question. Is Trevor Lawrence the most overrated quarterback that we've seen? I don't know how long, but...
Yes, because... I think Herbert is a little overrated, but there's talent there. Herbert just doesn't really have the wins and just the things that come with this
but
talent and all that.
But he did have wins.
He's been to the playoffs. Well, Trevor Lawrence beat him in the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
But I think if all things considered, yes, Trevor Lawrence is very overrated.
Yeah, I mean, he just keeps like leaving you like going, okay, what exactly is happening here? Who are you?
You're waiting for him to break through a ceiling that might not be there.
Yeah.
He might be the first floor on the third three-story apartment building.
He went 14-30, 220 yards. He didn't throw a pick, But again, they dropped to 0-2 on the season, and they lose to Deshaun Watson, which again, I think we all thought Deshaun Watson. I
mean, still didn't look great this week either.
22 of 34. Man, that's a lot of misses. Yeah, the Browns are a mess, but it looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars are a bigger mess. We already touched base on the Raiders Ravens, but Raiders 23, Ravens 20 in overtime. Minshew, I thought, was spectacular. The defensive line stepped up. They held Lamar in check. Good stuff there, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the formula for the Raiders right there. David's going to keep you in it. Fourth quarter comes. Minshew, just don't lose us the game and get it to the playmakers. Brock Bowers was big in that fourth quarter, too.
Yeah. Have we seen a more boring game than the Steelers-Broncos? Steelers win 13-6 over the Broncos.
No, the Steelers played Steelers football, which is just 1970s football. It's disgusting, but somehow it still works. And the Broncos, congrats. Good luck with Bo Nix and just developing that for the season.
Do you feel like the only thing that matters is getting to the playoffs?
For the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like there is no ceiling.
They're not a Super Bowl team.
They just hope that their floor is that they make the playoffs once again.
Best case scenario for the Steelers is that you make the playoffs and Justin Fields turns out like he might be something for you.
You okay over there, Kenny?
Yeah, we have to do the email.
Oh, no, my bad. I should have signed in. The last game we have, that Texans-Bears game. We haven't really got to the Caleb Williams stuff. Okay, so the reason I'm going to be harsh on him, right, is because, number one, their defense is incredible. We're gonna bring Kenny Caraway in to discuss this game specifically. How about that? You on?
I'm on. I'm good.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. The Sunday night game is Texans-Bears. I get why they have this game there, right? It's C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams. But the problem that Caleb Williams has is that C.J. Stroud exists in the same universe he does. And you look at C.J. Stroud last year as a rookie and what he did as a rookie, and then you watch what Caleb Williams is doing as a rookie, and you're like,
that's not fair, though.
It's not fair. What do you mean it's not fair?
Like, CJ is like in his own place with what he did last year. Like, Caleb looked fine, honestly, I thought, yesterday. I put more blame on the coaching and the offensive line.
You think so?
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, you guys know what it is with me with Caleb Williams. I think he's super talented. We're going on years now, and I'm not going to judge him off his first two NFL games, but he cannot pass from the pocket.
Mm.
He does not see it. He's not accurate from the pocket. They got little crossers that he hits, and sometimes that's all you need to do. Get it to your playmakers on a little crosser and let them do what they have to do. But if he has to throw the ball, if he's in the pocket and has to stay in the pocket, and he has to throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field, it's an adventure. And the only reason why I point that out and say that might be a problem is because that's always been the issue I've seen with Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
I think that might be who he is as a quarterback.
He
might not have that feel in the pocket.
I feel like he was trying to do some things that might have worked at USC yesterday too that won't work here. I mean, it was even through the interception, he kind of rolled out or whatever. He was trying to find Komet and the DB for the Houston made a good play on it or whatever. I think he'll be fine, but there's other things I think they got to fix up before we get to Caleb.
He's just wildly inaccurate from the pocket. I mean, you saw a couple of plays yesterday where what was it, a third down late in the game or whatever the case may be, and he tried to hit a back shoulder, I think, to DJ Moore.
Yeah.
And the back shoulder was like 5 yards to the left. And DJ's like, yo, what are we? I hope he can, because like I said, shout out to my man Allen, a Bears fan. Shout out to my man Manny. I hope that he develops some of that. But I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, we can all, like, Caleb Williams is considered a better prospect coming into the draft, coming into the league, than C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's even, like, Caleb Williams is considered a generational talent. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud was not considered that. He was considered a top-tier quarterback in a good draft, right? Mm-hmm. He goes number two. But C.J. Stroud walks into the league and is really good, like, even great in his first year. Like, from the jump, you're like, who is this? Mm-hmm. And then you have moments like that. I'd even say, Who's the Commanders quarterback?
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels. Somehow we forgot them on the rundown that the Commanders
had. Bro, they kicked like eight field goals in that game.
It's okay.
It's okay to forget that, right? Yeah, what did we? Fine. That you're was fine. Ridiculous, all the field goals in that game. Yeah. I don't even know what the total was. I think it's more like 9 field goals in that game.
Shout out to whoever the kicker was that day.
Yeah, but either way, I think it's one of those situations where, like, look, C.J. Stroud walks into the league and owns it, and Caleb Williams walk into the league, and there are other quarterbacks that are young that are already looking better than him, and his ceiling is higher, mm-hmm. but he got to bring that floor up because that team has incredible defense.
Oh, for sure. They're one of the top defensive teams in the league. I think they'll end up there. And Caleb, like I said, I'm not gonna make any judgment on him and say this is who he is right now. I just... For him to go to that next level, he's got to be able to pass from the pocket accurately.
I agree. All right, we got a jet. Thanks, Jesse, for filling in.
We'll be back on Thursday and Friday.
You'll be back on Thursday and Friday. I won't. I'll be off. But thanks for tuning into the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. The D-Lo and Casey's coming up next.
That's right, baby.